And I didn't get to post from last week's show what I'm about to read, so I'm reading it again. We are not so much interrupting poisonous pedagogy, Alice Miller's For Your Own Good, as taking a little thought jaunt off on a long reverie based on something she said. She said that the person actually benefiting from this manipulation must not be detected. And the fact that that is clearly stated in their pedagogy that they give to parents to implement in order to reproduce power, both within the home and within the nation, is significant, obviously. It shows there is a concerted plan across multiple social institutions. It shows they've done their homework. They've done their thinking. They've read their Plato, and they have got a strategy. And look at the numbers slaughtered as a result. Is there any doubt? They've been successful. They are indeed on top of a lot of confusion and suffering and misery. So they have succeeded in staying hidden, because we ain't talking about it. And I'm arguing that this, the presence of this ideology in child rearing provides the ideological expression of hidden power. And that this hidden power is not just the pattern, but the basis of all such that grow out of it, underclass. It all starts there, I recall, hearing an interview after his death, Philip Seymour Hoffman saying, it all starts there, right? Right there, with the infant and the parent. Yes, it does. To illustrate this point, we'll be looking at events in France after the revolution of 1789, the event that initiated a wave of bourgeois, and I think of those classically trained intellectuals done with aristocracy, with aristocratic pretensions, with a bourgeois revolt across Europe against aristocracy and Napoleonic invasion, after which followed in France restoration of monarchy, Napoleon making himself emperor, followed by other monarchs, Napoleon's nephew using popular revolt and hunger for a republic to bring about a coup and strengthen the state. This is the December 2nd, 1851 aftermath to the revolution of 1848, which was the uprising against King Louis Philippe. We view from below, arguing that we have been intentionally misled by the power-promoted professional leftists, generally advocates of the fix-the-state-or-claim-the-state so-called solution, who encourage us to base our strategy for getting free on abstractions rather than in our lived experience of being captives. The actors on the political stage and their machinations are less important than the motive forces which generate them. What's interesting, and we began this discussion last week, is that Karl Marx, who's 18th Brumaire of Louis Bonaparte, will be quoting from at length. What's interesting is that Marx tells us this is his primary motive as well, identifying the class struggle, quote unquote, as the motive force. Quote, I demonstrate how the class struggle in France created circumstances and relationships that made it possible for a grotesque mediocrity, and this is, by this he means the nephew, Napoleon the Little, to use Hugo's phrase, to play a hero's part, unquote. But what we'll be considering is that assigning motive power, making actors of theoretical abstractions, is not the same as seeing the forces that motivate the humans hidden in those abstractions. Some of the humans are open and honest about their actions, others are not. But none of them, in our analysis, our abstractions. And let us never forget that in this period about which Marx writes, and I want to add, are not abstractions, also because we are, we are calling out class as the problem, not capitalism. Capitalism has been extremely useful, I believe, that ideology for power. But if we recognize that the problem is 10,000 years in the making, it is and that it is therefore based in relationships that we experience every day, that's very concrete. That's our bodies talking, saying, I want to be free.